Welcome to the Sacred Body Podcast. My name is Stacey Ramsauer, and I'm your host. This is an ongoing conversation about the sacred nature of embodiment and the path toward greater fulfillment as humans. We approach this conversation from the lens of birth, food, intimacy, sex, and much more. I hope you enjoy, and I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to the Sacred Body Podcast. I am so honored today to be with Maren Green from Indie Birth. I had the good fortune of moving back home to Tucson only 2 weeks before Maren offered one of her signature childbirth classes in Sedona. And I was so pleased to learn that you live in Arizona, Maren. It was like such a blessing to me. And instantly felt inspired and connected and just really grateful. So, Maren, I'm really happy to have your voice here and continue spreading the good word about birth. And I would love for you to just tell the listeners a little bit about Indie Birth, yourself, and if it feels easy to kind of slide into how it is you came to be what I experience as just fearless in your path, the way that you've carved this path for yourself. I know it wasn't like right out the gate you knew you were going to be a midwife, but such a deep level of self-trust that I find really inspiring. So take it away.
Thank you. Well, first, I'm super honored to be here. Just in meeting you a bunch of months ago, also felt really inspired and connected, and I find that to be one of the gifts of this path for sure, is just meeting women like you who are honoring their deep truth. It's such a blessing to, you know, kind of get that back. So thank you, and thanks for doing this work in this podcast. Where to start? Well, I have 9 children at home that I have birthed. I've actually birthed 10 altogether, and you know, that's most important in my life and is a crucial and has been an integral part of my path as a midwife. Like, those two are not separable at all, totally inseparable. So let's see, I got into birth work in the way that you and I understand it with my first home birth, which was 15 years ago. And that birth completely changed me in a way I had no idea was possible. And right after he was born, literally like months after, I began a midwifery apprenticeship with a home birth midwife in Chicago. I had been a musician previously, so this was a huge turn of life events. And that's, you know, been 15 years, so time has flown by, and Indie Birth came into existence about a decade ago, so I was still a student, and it kind of began as a print magazine in Flagstaff, Arizona, and really was just a way for me as a student to have something of my own. That's really what it started as. So I got to write articles, and I got to talk about birth in the way I wanted to. And it evolved really into a global network, a global mission of women everywhere that want to own their experiences, coupled now with the intention of also reaching midwives and doulas and other birth workers who feel this same way, whether they've birthed children or whether it's just in their heart and in their path to serve women in one way or another. So as you know, we have a doula program, and we have a midwifery school that's a real full-time online thing, and we'll be entering its 4th year of accepting women from all over the world. So, I don't know. Does that answer some of the questions people might have?
Totally. It's a really unique position that you're in the way that you teach and lead in this community, and sort of the primary thing that I've been connected to through the yoga world for a while, but now is such a huge part of the birth work world, is like, why do you need a certifying body to tell you what you know? Especially when that certifying body creates so much limitation in how you're able to show up. And if this is an entity or an element that is, you know, the intention for all birth workers, I really do believe, is to come in and support inside a system that is not supporting and is not working. And yet we've sort of recreated the model of this is how it's done and this is how you show up and you just say yes when things get hard. So I really honor that, and I just wonder, like, have you always been a total rebel? What really lit that fire? And, you know, you are this perfect combination of super bold and unapologetic and really loving. So just whatever that inspires you to share.
Yeah, I think at the deepest level, I have always been unhappy with authority, which has totally taken and still takes refining on my part, right? Because I think a lot of people that feel that way, there's also a lot of anger there, you know, for a system that isn't serving women or abusing women. And, you know, I definitely deal with those things too. But ultimately, it's such a strong calling to just speak my truth. Like, for so many years, you know, when Indieverse started, whatever, 10 plus years ago, or as I was kind of coming into my own identity as a midwife in the birth world, you know, there's so much black and white. There's so much mm-hmm. us and them. There's so much, even amongst women, even amongst midwives, even amongst home birth midwives. It's all like, no, it's this way. No, it's this way. And, you know, I've walked that too. Like, I don't choose to be licensed and I would never go back to that. So I honor that there are like very bold choices that people can make. But ultimately, if everybody is listening to what's inside of them, then there's no need to care what anyone thinks. And so, you know, I'm 42. I feel like I've gotten to that place in my life now, finally, where I just really don't care. Like, I don't need anyone to agree. I don't need anyone to like what I'm doing. You know, and I'm very aware that there are people that don't. Oh, well, that's fine. But as long as I'm speaking what comes up for me, and I, you know, have the privilege of hearing back from the community, like, hey, that's something we want to hear, or yes, I feel that way, or yes, I feel that, or whatever it is. I've had the benefit of getting that feedback, I guess, which maybe gives a person more confidence in just staying true to themselves. Like, that's absolutely all that I care about. So every time I get a chance to, like, do an interview like this, or we have our book, you know, I really want people to understand that I'm not trying to be another person that knows the way for you. I'm not somebody that's even saying home birth is the best thing. I'm saying there's lots of great reasons to go in that direction when your heart is calling, but more importantly, again, just listen, you know, just listen to what your body's saying and listen to what your heart's saying. And if you're pregnant, then you have a baby that you can listen to. So I feel like that's so simple. And, you know, I feel like when I go through the world that way with birth work, it just makes a lot of it easier than it used to be. Because, you know, you're just meeting each person where she's at and just holding space for that, and allowing someone to come to their truth that way is really awesome to see.
What about your first birth, the birth of your first child, prompted you, inspired you to choose home birth the second time? And if you could just, I know I've heard you say, but kind of want to share specifically in this conversation, that experience of trusting the familiar system, like sort of what we do or are taught to do most often as birth workers, it's like, well, I even had someone say this to me when I thought I was going to have to birth in the hospital. You really can have a great experience in the hospital. And I just knew in my bones, I couldn't. Like, I can't be an advocate for myself in that moment. I can't be fighting. I can't, you know, and that's that energy is also not conducive to birth, of like people standing up as bodyguards for the birthing person. Like, that's not conducive to birth. So if you could just talk a little bit about that unique experience of yours. And while you do, I'm going to let my cat out of the room so she doesn't keep meowing in the background.
Well, first of all, I want to say that, you know, it's entirely impossible to know what someone else's experience is. And so there's a lot of that, I find, especially in the natural birth world, if plans don't come to pass, kind of like a, well, it's okay, like, you'll be fine, or, you know, you'll just get a doula, or, you know, just make your birth plan. And that may work for some people, but yes, I will get to my hospital birth. What I learned, though, from that is there's really just such a high degree of unpredictability in those situations. Mm-hmm. You know, so great. People can have great experiences everywhere. So either they do, and that's fine, or they really don't, but they don't know what else is possible. They don't have a higher standard than that. And they're alive, and, you know, maybe they avoided surgery, and so that was a great birth. Great. But culturally speaking, like, is that the best we can do? Mm-hmm. So I guess that's kind of where I wound up, without saying all of those words to myself, after my first birth. My daughter will be 17, so it was quite some time ago. And I had a great pregnancy. I had an easy pregnancy. I took Bradley classes. I hired a doula. The one thing that I had in me, which I'm super grateful for, was that my mom had birthed both my sister and I without any pain meds in the hospital. Mm-hmm. But my whole life, whenever I had asked about my birth story, my mom never once made it sound like it was hard or painful or difficult. So I really totally believed I could do it, sort of naively. I had no doubt about that. But what I really wasn't prepared for, which is like most people, is just all the shenanigans that go on in the hospital, and how in 1 second everything gets rerouted. And you don't really have the space or time or the connection, many of us in those situations, to really, I hate to say fight back, but, you know, to really do what we feel would be right. Like, we're disconnected, and that's part of the hospital system. Mm-hmm. And I say that actually without judgment. Like, if people could realize that's a system where it's purposeful to disconnect a woman from her wisdom and from her baby, then everything makes a whole lot more sense, and we don't really need to blame women. It's just like, that's the system.
Yeah.
So my daughter was born after a couple days of labor, and truly, had I been with an obstetrician, any other obstetrician, I probably would have had a C-section. But he was an older guy, and I think he had more patience than I hear about nowadays. And so I labored for quite some time. I ended up getting induced because I really wasn't in labor. It was all kind of silly. Mm. But my waters had opened, so they started the clock. And I pushed her out without any pain medication, etc. But they did take her after birth for several hours. And, you know, if you get me in some moments, still 17 years later, I can cry about that. And I picture, you know, them taking her and not even having the wherewithal to know what was happening or why they took her or when she'd be back. It was all just like a blur. So we got home a couple days later, and I just started, you know, watching lots of birth stories on TV, something I had never done before. I'd sit there nursing her and just watching these stories. And just slowly over the next, you know, year and a half, it became kind of an obsession in a way. Mm-hmm. And I didn't name it intellectually, like, I need to have another birth to make that one right. But truly, that was part of it.
Wow.
And, of course, I felt like there was another baby at least, and so I got pregnant with my son, you know, when she was about a year old. And long story short, yeah, ended up looking for home birth midwives a couple of weeks before he was born, mainly because I kept kind of having flashbacks of them taking her, my first baby. I wasn't really worried. If I needed to go to the hospital again for the second birth, I really wasn't worried about me. Like, I could have a baby. I knew I could fight them off, whatever. But I was totally unprepared for the way they treated my little baby and the lack of connection that I was able to have with her in those first couple of hours, which we all know now, you know, is totally crucial.
Yeah.
And part of bonding and attachment. So I literally could not go through that again. And pregnant with my second, I hired another doula. We were in a different location and sat there and cried like a couple weeks before I was due because I couldn't do that again. So it just took time. You know, some people move quicker along the path. Some people like you have their first babies at home. And I'm always so envious in a way, and I honor women that come to that so much quicker than I did, but what can you do, right? It's just the way it goes and the path that I needed to take. And I'm so grateful. It gives me a lot of compassion and the perspective of what is a hospital birth like, you know, why do people do that? I can totally take myself back there and answer some of those questions. And truly, had someone said with my first baby, you know, anything about home birth, I wasn't ready. Mm-hmm. I wasn't ready to do that. So after a lot of blame and guilt and those sorts of things, eventually I came to the fact that I did the best I could. And when you, you know, employ a system with those beliefs, you're going to get what you get. You're going to get what is served there. So these kind of things I feel like have been super influential in teaching. And I hope trying to talk from a perspective that isn't judgmental and is more like common sense. And, you know, you were at the workshop, so we get into how birth works. And people really put the pieces together. Like, if this is how birth works and we need to feel safe and undisturbed, then they put the pieces together that maybe their, you know, X plan doesn't quite fit into that mold. Rather than like over preaching about how terrible hospitals are, et cetera, et cetera. It's just like, well, is that going to work for you or not? So that's the long version of why it did not work for me.
I really respected and was very moved by that element of the childbirth class that you teach, that it wasn't just like, I find it very easy to just rail against the medical system. It's not always the most inspiring or motivating unless you're just like preaching to your choir and empowering people to put the pieces together themselves is the whole model of your care as far as I see it, which is an incredible thing to be learning. And there's so many threads that I want to follow from what you were just talking about that all kind of come back to the element of the divine feminine and this innate understanding of how life works, which is cyclical, which is a spiral, which is unpredictable. Mother Nature is a force of wind, of lightning, of flow, of density. It's all those things. And more, I don't know if it's more important, but at least as important, and certainly for you to unfold into where you are now, at least the willingness and support to grieve, to emote, to process, to express. That was disappointing. I'm, you know, to go through those experiences of guilt, of blame, of anger is a huge part of the process as well. I mean, I'm thinking now of anyone who may be listening to the conversation and harboring still a feeling of a birth, a life situation, whatever it may be. And it's not about placing blame. It's about just blasting it open to like process. If that wasn't good enough for you, we've got to grieve that and we've got to get really clear. What do you actually want?
Totally. Totally. And I think that reminds us, hopefully, that we hold the responsibility in feeling it. So it's not to say, oh, we should have done it differently. You know, if we hold responsibility, then we could have made different choices. No, it's just the responsibility to feel it and to own those feelings. That's such an issue in life, but in the birth world in particular, so many women are having poor experiences and being traumatized, but our culture so supports just, you know, kind of avoiding that, or like we were saying earlier, it's good enough to have gotten what you got. Uh-huh. So it's rare, you know, in the big picture for women to really want to like sit into that. But, you know, I think our future birth experiences definitely depend on it if we choose to have them. I think our mothering depends on it. Like, these aren't issues that stand alone. They're all connected and they're not easy. They're messy. But that's part of the path, I think. And, you know, my path certainly hasn't been, you know, free of those sorts of things. But I think that allows me to sit in this space and just hear whatever it is that come out of women, you know, wherever they are on the path of their own truth. Yeah, because again, everybody's at a different place, which is why even people making different choices doesn't really bother me in that way. There's nothing we can really do. We can only offer what we have to offer, and it's not personal. It's not personal if someone isn't there or they don't get it or they choose something else. We each have the things to learn from the path we've chosen. And like I said, I wouldn't take it back. I wouldn't take back that experience for the world for a million reasons.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of the elements of your offering that I love so much is the intersection of the scientific and the sacred. And I think that's such a necessary concept, lens, and certainly the world that I operate in, it's, you know, up to now been primarily yoga and Ayurveda, and people are always so satisfied by like scientific research that backs up what people intuited through their bodies and their hearts thousands and thousands of years ago. It's like, oh, well, now the microscope has told us that this is actually happening, even though I was feeling good and it felt right. Like, there's still this very strong dependence on the scientific, which is the masculine in the sense of like black and white and more linear. And I think that there's something really lovely that you've offered in the way that we have access to a lot of research about birth. It's sort of amazing to me that so many things have only just started to be researched. Like, that's such a compelling piece of information on the nutrition workshop that is part of your doula training. It's like these studies only started in 2015. But the information has been passed down as like gospel for as soon as obstetrics took over. But I digress. I'm curious about, you know, this, the role that the sacred and the divine feminine, how that came into your life, if that's something that's always been there, and when you realized that that was such an essential part of birth work.
That's such a great question. Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about that balance. I don't know, for me, feeling done having babies especially has brought in this idea / feeling of the masculine more lately, which for me has resulted in a lot more studying and seeking of intellectual knowledge, which has been really fun. And so I realized that in my state as a pregnant woman, and increasingly so with each pregnancy, that I really did embody the divine feminine, you know? And I mean, we all do, but just the awareness of like, oh, that's what that was.
Mm-hmm.
And the place I needed to be for my pregnancies was really not a balance of the two. It was purely feminine, in using my intuition and really not accessing technology or numbers or really what anybody thought about anything. Like, that became just so important, especially in my last couple births. But I couldn't say how it happened. It was just like the need that I had, maybe based on the babies partly, I'm not sure. My last, well, except for a loss, my last three live births were girls. And just the crazy place that it is to be pregnant and to be a midwife as well. So I think I spent my earlier pregnancies when I was a midwife in a more intellectual state, which was different and made birth different. And then these last few, I just completely got out of that costume. And that was really amazing. And I feel like there was so much wisdom gifted to me by those experiences and those babies, and even my loss, actually. Like, handling death in my body for so many months was a portal of just, I don't even know. I mean, wisdom is the best word that I have. Mm-hmm. You know, something outside but in me that came in and were truths that I never could have realized any other way. So I don't know at what point it happened in what percentage, but through my own birth experiences, just this power came through. And again, I think our babies are so largely responsible for that, for being who they are and gifting us whatever they do and sharing their own lessons and what they need. And I'm really listening to that, because that for me was so huge. You know, it's not like nothing came up in any pregnancy, concern wise, let's say, but I had the confidence with my last few, especially, and the awareness and the connection to really tune into them and come to a place where, no, I knew everything was fine. And everybody around me maybe was recommending, oh, you should go see this person, or oh, you should do this. And I would maybe spin out a little bit, because I think that's pretty normal, but always come back to the absolute knowing. And it's not that the knowing is always what you want, but came back to a place of knowing. So I think it's primarily been my birth experiences. But then as a midwife, I find myself always juggling the balance, which I love and I find to be the art of midwifery. Like, that is it right there, is we are artists. You know, the pregnant woman is definitely the artist. And if we're walking with her, we're just the support. But on our own lives, in this crazy world of supporting birth, we're also artists, and we get to choose how much we want, how much we need of the science, of the sacred. And literally, that can vary from day to day or week to week, or I find, you know, woman to woman that I'm working with. I can spend, you know, a certain percentage of time, as I said, I have been recently, like, really studying and learning new things and taking classes and having study groups with my students. And then I can spend X percentage of time, you know, in meditation and connecting with people's babies and hearing them and seeing them and hearing what their messages are and mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And I love that. Like, I love that that's been shown to me as a valid part and a necessary part of midwifery. Because if it was just like checking boxes and weighing people and listening to heart tones, I wouldn't be interested.
Yeah. And that is such a crucial missing piece in general of, you know, a cultural holding for the wisdom of your body. And, you know, getting into perinatal psychology, consciousness begins at conception. That fact, not a notion, but a fact, that there is a living conscious being who's part of you and also separate from you. Again, so many threads I want to follow from this. It's really just giving me goosebumps. I want to just touch in on something a little more specific, I guess, and related to my own recent birth. The reason that I had chosen a home birth, and multiple times. I moved at the beginning of my second trimester, and started care with a birth center group, and I just knew, like, I walked in and I knew, like, this is not where I want to have my baby. Not because of anything kind of scary, or I felt really loved and supported by all the midwives there. Actually, I was just new. This is not where I'm supposed to have my baby. And then I tested positive for GBS, Group B strep, twice. And for those of you listening, if you don't know what it is, you can do the research. I'm not going to take time to explain it. But, you know, it was a couple of weeks of feeling complete emotional overwhelm, mental confusion, doing lots of my own research, which was all contradictory, reaching out to as many resources as I could, struggling with my husband's fear, my parents' fear, just not having, is this legal for my midwife to attend me at home? How can I, you know, all the things. And ultimately what it came down to is that in my body, I knew for certain I could have my baby at home, that I was not in danger. And my baby was going to be compromised in the hospital. And that was true for me. And it was just, the only way to describe it was like the most profound walking over the coals I had ever experienced, to have to go against things that I have revered for much of my life, as much as the sacred and intuition is a part of my work and my practice. This was like that final test.
Yeah.
Certainly not the final test, but a significant test.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, but the research says this, but your midwife says this, but your mom says this. And, you know, to get to that point where it's like, but I don't think that, and I don't want that. So that has to be more important, and taking that stand, as much as pushing my baby out, that is what I'm most proud of in my life so far.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. I know. I was talking with someone else today about collaboration on different topics, and yeah, it came up, some of these clinical things, and I said, you know, those topics are just overstated in the sense of information. And it's funny you would say GBS, because that was also my example, right? You know, it's like, how many things, what is it, where do we get it, what are the statistics, what's the treatment? Like, your head could start spinning, and certainly many women's do.
Mm-hmm.
But what I came back to is that with any topic, and that is one, what is interesting is exactly what you said, which is, how is this woman going to be supported through waiting through all of the science out the other side to truly know what it is she needs to know? That is what is so interesting. And that is what I love supporting, because it's not my job to say, oh, well, how could I know? How could I possibly say to someone, you'll be a statistic? All I can say is, there are babies that get sick. That's what we know. I can't say any more than that for anyone else. So it's really amazing that people try to do that, or try to predict, or really it's more about them than it ever is the woman. They don't want to be blamed. They don't want to be involved. And truly, most women don't have whatever that is, or haven't developed that, to really wade through and come out the other side and say, this is my final answer. I have been so humbled by women in my own work who do that with whatever issue it is. You know, I can think of a really young woman I was working with a couple years ago, like really young, and there were some concerning signs and symptoms. So what to do, right? Other than, this could be going on. Here's what it could be. Here's what you could do. Here are your options. And truly leaving it up to her, and also trusting her, despite her being very young, that she could process all of that and come out the other side. And holding space for her fear as she walked through it, thinking, oh man, like something really could be wrong. And if my midwife's bringing it up, then blah, 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 blah. Because people are going to probably do all that anyway. And I think that's part of the process. Anyway, just for someone like that, or for you, or all of these amazing women that really are able to be in that hard place of, I know everything's going to be fine, and I don't need any more input on that, and I'm going to shut my computer off now and my brain off now, and I don't need to be in that bubble. You know, that's really powerful, and I think I would love to see more women do that, of course.
I feel really strongly, like, as I am contemplating what my future work looks like and what I might have to offer, it's like I would love to make mandatory like a 4-year program of study for all people who think they may want to birth, just to take in this information and to have the adequate time to digest it and to work through their own embodied trauma and shame and really get to taste the truth of their own experience of being birthed. I mean, that's what set me on this path of birth work, was meeting my biological mother and like downloading in an instant all of this information. Like, oh, that's why this is this way, and this is how it's showing up in my relationships and my body and my food choices and all of this incredible information that is so withheld from us. And one of my favorite resources on this topic is Rhianne Eisler, who wrote The Chalice and the Blade. And she has another really beautiful, albeit very academic, book called Sacred Pleasure. And it's, you know, the eradication of the feminine from culture and what has resulted from that. And it does feel to me, and I think for you, and I'd love to hear you expound upon this, like this is information that has been withheld from us.
Sure.
And how do we access that, especially in a world that is increasingly, while I think there's a growing consciousness, we're also increasing technology and how kind of disconnected / connected we are.
Yeah, it's a huge topic. I think there's so much work to be done, of course, internally, but as you're saying, what to do going forward with our children, you know, I mean, and yes, specifically girls, although there's certainly a way for boys to be integrated and shown their own truth, you know, in different ways than we are. But honoring our bodies from the time we're young and understanding our cycles and how powerful that is, you know, and taking our own opportunities, you know, I know as a mother, to dispel myths around bleeding, you know, like my oldest is in that phase of her life, and that's been really fun, and she's really open and all of that. So grateful for that, but it's amazing to just still hear and feel like the cultural shame that comes through with something like bleeding. You know, and I think she's really awesome. But in other words, there's a lot we have to work with, or a lot that's there that is hard to work with that we can identify. So learning about our cycles and being comfortable in our bodies and with our sexuality and intimacy, like these are all things I think we're here to pass on to our kids in the best way that we can. I mean, I don't feel like I have that all down or anything, but certainly generationally speaking, I think I'm doing okay, especially with what I received, because all of that was just stuff nobody talked about ever. So I would love to see a return to that. I think the younger girls and women just have more ready access to that wisdom, because I don't think it's anything we need to relearn. Like, it's really in there. So there's lots of great resources, and, you know, we can get back to supporting women in ceremony and, you know, doing cool things when girls start to bleed or whatever it is. But those are all just little ways, I think, that it will make more sense for possibly that generation and future generations to arrive at the point in their life where they're maybe wanting to conceive or just find themselves pregnant and are more connected. I mean, that's really just like the simplest way of putting it. The disconnect is so large that I find myself just taking it back there with almost every discussion. Someone the other day was wanting to talk about like postpartum and the way women like have to get back to work and all these things. And it's like, oh yeah, mm-hmm. we could spend 10 hours talking about that. But truly, it's because we're disconnected. And most women are having babies in a place that severs their bond almost completely. They've been drugged, like they're chemically not attracted to their babies. And I'm not blaming them. I'm just saying when they get home and they don't really feel anything and they have to go back to work and then everything spirals out of this lack of respect for the mother.
And the container around them is saying, well, at least your baby's healthy. Like, that's the most dismissive, crazy thing. And I've heard you say this so many times. Of course, that's important. But to make it unimportant that a woman has been empowered and enabled to do what is innate to her in the way that is innate to her is crazy.
Right. And makes me think of something else that I was sharing recently. I don't know who came up with this per se, so I can't like quote anyone. But if you think about it from a perspective, you know, every person or every culture, whatever, birth is either about the mother, it's either about the baby, or it's about the care provider. And certainly there's some overlap and maybe there's some balance in there, but I think we all kind of have like our deepest truth as far as that goes. So, I mean, I'll just be honest, like, I think it's about women transforming themselves. And of course the baby's important, but the baby is part of the mother. So I feel like you get that one when you talk about the fact that we're just going to crack open with every birth we have, that we die and come back. Like, that is important. The baby is only the most important thing in this culture of, you know, the baby being the product of the machine and that being more important than any woman. And then, of course, you know, the care provider being most important sounds ridiculous, but that's also the way many people feel, whether or not they want to admit it. So, you know, how can we get back to the woman just being the absolute center of this experience? Every care provider should be caring about this. Every word they say, every look they give, everything should take them back to, am I supporting this woman in her space, in her power? Am I making this about me? You know, it's so simple in a way, but it's hard to get back to, I guess.
Yes. And I want to just close our conversation, although I'll probably feel like, I already feel like I want our conversation to continue for at least another hour, but we'll try to touch on this huge topic in 10 minutes. You know, in between this tending to our cycles and the real deep biological needs of our body and spiritual needs too, which express through our body and birth, there is, of course, sex. Sex makes babies. And I love and am really grateful for that acknowledgement in your work and your training and your offerings that sexuality is a crucial, undeniable piece of how we come to birth. And having spent a little more time in that arena as a somatic sex educator, you know, all of these, they're all rites of passage. Cycling is a rite of passage. Initiating sex in your body is a rite of passage, whether it's solo or with a partner. And the way that we are, again, like information is withheld or just bypassed, like this should feel good to you. It's not simply mechanical, but like, and it can look so many different ways. And I think that is one of the more fascinating pieces for me and why I find sex to be a great focal point for educating on other things like feeding yourself, like having a baby, because that is a way that I personally feel like sex didn't carry a lot of shame or charge in my house, but it was also like not a robust conversation. So like, what is it supposed to look like? What can it look like? And coming to a point in my life where I realized I've been existing in this very thin, small sliver of possibility, excluding really a lot of pleasure from my life, in my body, in my experience, in my choices. So I just love to hear your take on that, hear you riff on sex as it relates to everything.
Yeah, everything relates to everything. Well, first of all, I would love to talk more with you about that some other time, because I think I have a lot to learn. I mean, in so many ways, and yeah, that would just be a fun conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, it's all related. I mean, the topic of pleasure in pregnancy is important. And of course, moving into the birth process, it's still like this weird thing people don't want to talk about, that birth can be whatever you want it to be, right? And it's like, pleasurable doesn't even have to mean in some sexual way. It's just like, it doesn't have to be something that people dread. It doesn't have to be painful. And those are still not really socially accepted ideas, you know? Mm-hmm. Even by women, I mean, people want to contest you. Every time I say that or I have information, you know, everybody wants to tell you their story, their trauma story, their reason why they couldn't do that. And that's fine. But I think the possibility of all of this being like so much more wide open is there. And I think that's what you're saying too, is like, we're keeping ourselves in a box for every subject we've talked about today. Women are sort of hiding from in the big picture. And I think it's just coming back to our own power in whatever way that feels for you, whatever your truth is. Our society is so scared of women.
I mean, truly.
Like, it's mind-boggling when you really kind of sit with what we can do. You know, we can create life, and every month we have that possibility, and the blood is a sign of our fertility and our ability, you know, to do that. So it's just little things like that I think most women don't think about. Like, everything that we've ever felt shame about as women is because it's actually something that would explode the system we're in if we were free in that. So how do we get free in that? You know, it's like, that's no one else's job. That's what you're working on. That's what I'm working on in our respective areas. Freedom, be you, you know, be the powerful woman that you are in all the manifestations of that, and get to know all those personalities and all those places in you, because that's what we need. You know, that's what we need to access to birth the baby. That's what we need to access to mother and throughout our lives. So it's not a small thing.
It's the biggest thing. It's such a beautiful thing. I'm so grateful to you, to know you, and for your ferocious offering. It's so wonderful. I'm really grateful for your time today, Maren, and looking forward to many more conversations. This is the first of many,
too.
I'm sure.
Thank you for allowing me to be here and speak. It's always nice and humbling to just hear yourself rambling on about random things. thank you for holding that space. And yeah, we'll connect soon, I'm sure.
Is there anything you'd like to offer to the listeners as far as ways to connect with you or something specific that you have in the pipeline?
Just our website is probably best. It's indiebirth.org. And if you're a podcast listener and you want to check out our free podcasts, you can find them on iTunes or really any podcast app under Indie Birth. And my series is called Taking Back Birth.
It's wonderful. There's so much information there. So I will leave access points in the show notes for people and look forward to having more time with you, Maren. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today on this episode of the Sacred Body Podcast. Please leave us a review if you have the time. Spread the word far and wide. Talk to you next time.